The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Michael, the biopic about legendary pop star Michael Jackson's life is in cinemas from today. There has been well-documented controversy around the making of it, including reshoots and revisions. And our very own presenter of Screen Time, John Fardy, has seen it. And he joins me now. John, the reviews are terrible.
They are, and they're about to get even worse, okay. I'm afraid. So I just say at the start, like, this gives me no pleasure. I was one of the albums was bad on cassette. And, you know, I till my head, as that other song goes, I loved them and was a massive fan, even when it wasn't cool to be, when all my pals were into the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Metallica and Blur or whatever. I adored Michael Jackson's music. So it gives me no pleasure to, you know, tear this apart, but I don't think we've any choice. Park all the controversy for the second.
About the we'll come back to it.
Yeah. But first of all, this is like a bog standard biopic that, like, the script, you know, I think I could have written it on the back of an envelope. So it begins in Gary, Indiana in 1966, where famously the Jackson brothers were schooled and treated fairly horribly by a stage dad in the form of Joe Jackson, played by the great Oscar-nominated Coleman Domingo, who you think really should have known better. So we have about 30 minutes of that. Then fast forward, we're in 1978-79, where Michael Jackson wants to break away and he's doing Off the Wall. And then he has great success with that. And there's this tug between him and his dad, who wants him to stay with the Jacksons. Then we have Thriller, which goes, you know, Interstellar and Galactic, and we see lots of clips of him making that and shooting videos and stuff. But it's just really, there's no drama, there's no interior life of Michael Jackson shown in this.
So it's just, you know, Michael Jackson, the star.
Yeah, and, like, you know, so whenever you see a biopic, there's usually, like, if it's, Cash, Elton John, all these people, there's moments of them falling in love, or there's moments of them just being broken by something. We don't really see any of that. The only thing we see is him befriending animals, as in, as an escape. You know, he's bringing llamas home, and there's a scene where this truck arrives and the whole family are standing in his mansion and they're wondering, what is it? What is it, Michael? And a monkey comes out, and this is Bubbles. And that's about as dramatic as it gets, to be honest. And there's occasional scenes of him staring at Peter Pan books going, that's who I want to be. But, like, to me, that's very pedestrian screenwriting, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah, I mean, some of the reviews have called it bad karaoke, and they've called it just like cosplay, you know, that there's absolutely nothing in it. Now, there is all of the scandal around Michael Jackson, which was left out. And we were told that was because there was a legal agreement between one of his alleged victims and the Jackson family, or the Jackson Trust, which meant that case couldn't be mentioned. But I mean, it's not really a reasonable explanation, is it? Because you can avoid mentioning that one case and fulfill the obligations of that legal agreement, but you don't have to leave out all of the scandal around Michael Jackson and the claims that were made against him.
You absolutely don't. And, you know, that statement that was issued from the Jackson estate, you know, is very handy. And I don't mean to be cruel, but saying that there was an NDA they discovered in this out-of-court settlement with this young man, Jordan Chandler. So thereby, we can't mention anything to do with his clearly strange relationship with children. And it's more pointed at times because, you may know, there was 3.5 hours of this. And apparently, and now it's just over 2 hours, but apparently it went on. So it now stops in 1988, where he's on the stage at Wembley. Sorry to give a spoiler, but he's broken free from Joseph, let's say, and he's out on his own. And that's where it ends. Now, apparently there was as I say, nearly 2 hours more of footage that went in to all these things that happened in the 90s and noughties around accusations of child abuse. And that's all been left on the cutting room floor. But as a result of it, you have this really strange scene where he's in a toy shop, Toys R Us, I think it is, and he's buying some toys and all these kids come up to him and he starts signing autographs. And the vibe you're getting is that the makers of the movie are saying, look, he was just out by himself and then he sees all these kids and he was happy to share his fame with them. And it leaves an awful taste in your mouth. And mm-hmm. the thing is, right, people are going to pile on in now as we have this conversation, Claire, and say, you know, he was found guilty of nothing, right? And that is true, absolutely, right? He was never charged with anything. There was plenty of out-of-court settlements and all, but there is a huge amount of evidence to suggest that he had a strange relationship with children. And by his own admission, he shared beds with people, with children who weren't his own. So aside of accusing him of anything, that is really strange.
Well, I mean, even on a very basic level, he went through a trial. You know, we all saw him going through a trial and being tried in relation to some of these allegations, and to leave that out seems ridiculous. But I find it hard really to get my head around the people who were involved in these in this project. And you mentioned one of the lead actors there who plays his dad. You have him, and you also have the producer, Graham King, who was involved in Bohemian Rhapsody. Yeah. You know, these are not people who you would imagine would be happy to be in the pay of the Jackson family and do exactly what the Jackson family told them to do.
Yeah, it's really strange, particularly with Coleman Domingo. And, you know, a lot of the reviews are pointing to cash grabs, right? Now, whether that's true or not, one thing you can't help but notice, this is clearly going to sell lots of streams on Spotify. It's going to boost the songbook, because the other thing that we haven't mentioned in this, at times there is no plot and there is just reconstructed concert footage. Similar to the way people kind of criticize parts of Bohemian Rhapsody, where they had, you know, the last 20 minutes of the movie was Queen on stage at Live Aid. Now, you know, you can disagree about the merits of that, but in this movie, it feels very strange. And, you know, the famous performance of Motown 25, where he did Billie Jean and you saw the moonwalk for the first time, they've just redone all that. So a lot of this movie is reconstructed concert footage, and a lot of the movie is the songs playing over the absence of anything happening other than people walking around. So the cynic in you can't help but think they are really hoping this is just going to sell. I know people don't sell music in the same way, but it's certainly going to put the songbook front and center mm-hmm. again. So I'm baffled. I don't know how these people are involved. Now, Coleman Domingo has said things like, you know, we don't know what happened. I want to play a character. And that's fair enough. But with all the noise around this, you have to wonder why he chose it. And, you know, there's this famous quote by T-Bone Burnett, the musician, that, you know, the history of rock and roll is a guy with a guitar going, "Daddy." And there's a lot of truth in that. If you look at Bruce Springsteen, Elton John, all these people, they had these really weird relationships with their dad. And in all those biopics, you see the effect those weird relationships had, whether it be drugs, whether it be, you know, sleeping with too many people who weren't their husbands or wives or whatever. Whereas in this, we don't see really what effect this abusive father had on Michael. And we're all left to suppose what effect it did have. But they don't mention that at all. Mm-hmm. So I was just left with a kind of bitter taste. And as I say that as someone who was once a huge fan.
And how is his nephew in the role as Michael?
Oh, Jafar Jackson. I mean, he's not bad. It's kind of, it strikes me as a impersonation, you know, but you have to wonder what kind of set it was like, you know. I can't imagine there was a lot of, you know, ad-libbing, or, you know, this was not Robert De Niro and Taxi Driver doing 27 takes and people being encouraged to go off script. I imagine I wasn't on the set. He's fine. He looks a lot like him. Most of the singing, though, is the original Michael Jackson. And look, I suppose, you know, on the positive side of things, there are moments in the movie, like they have the isolated vocals of him singing "Don't Stop Till You Get Enough" for the first time. And it's spine tingling. Like, that voice was from a different planet, the rhythm in it, the melody. But, you know, that's one very small entry on the positive side of the balance sheet.
We want the full story, right? We want this complicated, complex story about a man who was clearly brilliant, but an alleged paedophile.
Yes, we do. And we get none of that. And again, people are going to say, well, it was just alleged. But if you stand back and look at the life of Michael Jackson, that is one of the biggest things on the pitch. And not to mention, it just seems preposterous, you know. And there's you know, various people calling for this not to be seen and various groups coming out. And you know, you have to be sympathetic to that. I mean, the whole point of movies in a way is, you know, future actors watch these movies and they feel seen and they think, well, maybe I could do something like this. Like, movies are important. They help create reality in a way. And you have to question what reality this is saying to people.
John, thanks so much. John Fardy there, presenter of Screen Time on News Talk. Lionsgate, who made the film, are talking now about preserving the opportunity to tell more of the story in a subsequent film or films. I bet they never go back to it again, but we'll see.
The Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.